There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. It's still the same number for calls and text, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Plus, you can leave us a talkback message using the microphone icon on the FM Talk 106.5 app. If you don't have it, go get it. It's free. It's on the App Store for Apple users and Google Play for Android users. Just look for our name. And you'll see our logo. That's the app. Download it. But one of the features there, you can leave us a talkback message, record your voice, email it to the show. All right. Without further ado, like I said last week, a man, not everybody can wear a bolo and make it look good. This man can. It's Kyle Hamrick with Lanyap and LanyapMobile.com. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
It's going good. I don't know if you've heard, but data centers have become... I guess people are talking about them today.
I'm still trying to figure out what all they do and what a center of data is. but yeah, it's lots of folks really care about this for some reason, and I'm still trying to find out why.
It has been. It's like, you know, there's been things like the bridge. There's been. You know, just think over time, Amtrak at one point, but that wasn't nearly as big. This is like at bridge level or maybe even bigger than that. I just watch how trends happen doing this. This is all encompassing, and maybe the algorithm just knows right, and this is all I see on my social media, and I don't spend a lot of time on social media. When I open it up, though, the 60, 70% of it is something about data centers.
Yeah, it is definitely the fidget spinner du jour.
I'd forgotten.
For sure.
Gotten those. So this is, let's talk specifically, because there's different data centers around the states. They have different stories. Let's talk about the one you're reporting on as well. Mobile County in Calvert. Your headline here is the data center would transform the county. And the numbers here, if they're even close to being right, seem kind of transformative.
Yes. That's what some folks said. They came down to the county commission Tuesday morning. Some people from South Alabama Utilities, the Alabama Power Company, the Mobile Chamber. This is a multi-billion-dollar project that's coming to Calvert. I've written tons of things on it, but they say that this could bring, I think, $49 million in yearly property taxes to the county and something like $50 million each year to the schools, which the representative from the Mobile Chamber kind of broke that down. That goes to roughly about $500,000 extra to every school in the county just for doing this data center. What's unique about this one, it seems, you know, unlike some of the other ones that have been going on in Montgomery and in Bessemer and some other parts of the state, this one from Beacon is said to be built without any kind of local or state tax breaks. So that's definitely a first for me in terms of what we've seen from the data centers.
Yeah, I mean, we have projects that have a lot less now. This hasn't happened yet, but a lot less projected impact on revenues that have been given tax abatements.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's really, you know, kind of the standard way of doing a bit of business in mm-hmm. this state, it seems, is to get somebody big come in that could produce a lot for local taxes, and those get cut or paused for some period of time. But I've been told by folks who are working on the project, they're not going to do that. And the same people who spoke to the county commission Tuesday said that Beacon is not going to go for those tax cuts. So that's a new thing, too. We also got a picture of kind of the water and power intake that this thing is going to have. It would use up about 7,500 gallons of water every day, which would just be for, like, you know, the bathrooms and the sinks and things that the 250 people who are going to work there are going to have to use. On the power front, you know, we didn't get a quote of kind of what the estimated use would be. I imagine it would be quite substantial. But we've been told that the power company is going to make the data center pay, you know, for any and all upgrades if they need to be done, and that would not be rolled over to the ratepayers. So we got some new info on this thing that's coming to Calvert. The construction is currently set to begin by the end of this year. It definitely seems like a transformational kind of deal for the county. Still hearing the concerns from locals on kind of, you know, what else could come with that that transformation.
Well, I mean, that we've had, you know, I keep going back to this, that we have approved, and maybe, you know, time's moved on, but in that area, I mean, up and down 43, we've approved heavy industry, right? Heavy industry that has brought change.
Yeah.
You got to, you know, I mean, starting when you get off, you know, we get off there at the Access Creola Metroplex and get onto 43. If you got off 65 there, the whole way up, mm-hmm. you know, going as far as McIntosh, you've got heavy industry. I mean, it's not like it's not been there. Yeah. We have talked about that. Well, but maybe the people didn't feel as engaged. Maybe we, the people, are different, more connected now than we were before.
Right. I think that definitely has something to do with it here. And you know, as far as my knowledge, we've also not been told that a steel mill could make your cows go barren and make the temperature for 5 miles, like, way hotter than it already is. So there's some claims that are still floating around out there that have not quite been addressed yet. But this is where we're at with the data center and kind of where it's going. We'll have to wait and see kind of, you know, what's going to come out from it.
Yeah, you know, here's a segue transition. What about the data center for Pritchard? Because I want to get into, you know, talk about Pritchard, but
yes.
It seems like that has not. It doesn't seem to be. Maybe is it received badly? Is it questions about water? What's going on?
It is. I have heard very few positive comments about the one that's coming to Pritchard, the one that's being planned for Pritchard. It's a different company. It's going to be a lot smaller than the one in Calvert. You could call this a baby data center. It's not going to have 250 folks that work there. I think there might be like a dozen or something. It's going to be a smaller deal. But the city of Pritchard is looking at doing a moratorium to pause this thing from coming in here. They are not a fan of it. And there could be a vote coming at tonight's council meeting to put that moratorium into to effect for folks to, you know, look further into this thing.
I want to talk more than beyond that. You have a story that's just out. This is why people need to subscribe and get the online updates at LandNetMobile.com. I knew that there was a Zoom meeting scheduled this morning. I did not get to watch it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have. This is Pritchard Mayor Carletta Davis. Had this Zoom meeting. What did we find out in that meeting? What happened?
We found out all kinds of stuff. This is really the first time, you know, that she has made a public comment on all that's been going on with the criminal probe into the Pritchard Police Department, with the feud of the city council. She's made some statements on Facebook before, but we actually got to ask some questions and, you know, hear from her live this morning. One of the things that stuck out to me, I had it in this week's cover story of Lanyap, that Sheriff Paul Birch made Mayor Davis aware of all the problems that are going on in the Pritchard Police Department. Prior to and after she took office, I asked Mayor Davis for a response to that today, and she said yes. Birch did tell her that there were some problems in the police department, but she did not take action to address those. She just gave everyone a clean slate and a chance to move on. That was big news to me.
She gave the police, the people at the police department, clean slate, the chance to move on, or whom?
That she gave folks in the police department a new start to move on. She said that she was told some information, and she got some things from Birch, but she wanted to act on what she knew and not what somebody had told her. So she decided to, you know, she didn't really clean house at the police department when she got in, and she decided to just move on with the way that things are.
Okay.
But is that a knowing?
I don't know. Like I said, I didn't. Thank God you watched it. I did not get to see it. I'll go back and watch it. But did she say, or was it intimated that I knew that this was coming, right? This investigation was going on, so I didn't have to do anything? Or was it that, I mean, what was the tenor of it?
That's not clear. Yeah, that's not clear. The tenor of her comments was that she had a conversation with the sheriff before and after she got into office. She was told that there were some problems in the police department that maybe should be looked into, and she didn't take action after that. That's what she said. And she said that she decided, you know, to put out some new rules. She put some new protocols in place for the police department, and, you know, they've had to get rid of some folks who didn't go by those rules.
So I mean, I probably want to hear more on this going forward. That she, maybe it was she was going to wait it out. But she did not really say anything more than that. I mean, she didn't say, "Well, I knew that the feds and, you know, Mobile County were going to do
right.
this." So, okay,
didn't go into that. Didn't go into, you know, like, "Hey, I've been told that there's an investigation that's coming." She just said that she was told that there were some problems in the police department, and she didn't really look into it more than that.
Okay, and you talked about the cover story too, and people could check that out. I mean, this is all-encompassing because it is running on empty. Pritchard faces uncertain future. In your first couple sentences here, you lay out, I mean, it's not just the police department. It's not just the water system. You know, it's insurance. It's the relationship between the mayor and council. It's a whole bunch of problems facing Pritchard.
Yeah. They are, this is a really big moment in the history of the city. There's a lot that's going on, and, you know, like Mayor Davis said in her press conference today, you know, she's hopeful that there is a positive path forward for Pritchard. She is not going to make a recommendation on what to do with the police department this week. She is out of town and will not be at the council meeting this afternoon. She could come back next week and be at the meeting. She has not gone to a meeting since June, which was, you know, around the same time as the lawsuit that was filed with the city council. And Yeah, she wants to have a meeting of the community Tuesday night to kind of hear more from people as to what should be done. This is a developing series of stories here, and we're going to keep on it.
It is. I mean, it's like, I mean, if you take any individual part of that, okay, so it's going to be Anywhereville, mm-hmm. Alabama. We're in Anywhereville, Alabama. Yeah. The allegations for a police department, that would shake the foundation of a town, okay?
Yeah.
Lack of municipal insurance, that itself would shake a town. A water utility mm-hmm. system that has long been a problem that we don't know where that in itself be a problem. You know, ongoing problem between council and mayor. Well, a lot of towns have that. But, I mean, you put all those things together, it's like, holy cow.
Yeah. It's a lot that is going on in Pritchard, to say the least. They have got a lot of problems, and hopefully there'll be some kind of a solution to these things, and hopefully that this moment will be like a wake-up call as to what needs to be done. And in Hanceville in Coleman mm-hmm. County, we've seen them, you know, dismantle their police department and try to start from scratch after a similar probe. Mayor Davis of Pritchard said that she is going to meet with Mayor Davis of Hanceville, those parallels there, mm-hmm. To see what can go forward here. But it's a lot. It's a whole lot for this community to have to deal with.
All right, people want to check it out online. Of course, the new paper out on Streets Now with your cover story, but if they want to check it out online, like we just added, you know, stories coming every day, how do they get signed up?
Absolutely. You need to head to laneatmobile.com, sign up for a subscription that works for you, and just keep up with all the news that keeps on coming.
That's for sure. Kyle, as always, man, I appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you later.
There he goes, Kyle Hamburg, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, top 128, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Hey, think about this. I was talking about Forrest and the gang at Blue Water Yacht Sales the other day about what a great inventory they have of new boats and used boats, but if for some reason, it's probably a good reason, you're probably going to sell one boat to get the next, right? Just tell me that. If you are, use the services at Blue Water Yacht Sales. So when Forrest first came to me about this, he said, hey, why do you go sell your boat on your own? I said, well, because I'm going to make more money, Forrest. I mean, I've known him forever. He said, what if I told you I could sell your boat, you get the same money, and you don't have to deal with all the, you know, showing up down at Navco, taking somebody on a boat ride, people kicking tires, you know, just all the phone calls, people asking stupid questions, all that stuff. I said, yeah, I would like not to do that. He said, well, that's what we do. With their brokerage service, with your high-end used boat, you get with Blue Water Yacht Sales, they get the information, and they have a network, and they have the people out there all over the Gulf Coast, Atlantic as well, that are looking for the kind of boat you have. Like, somebody's in the need of this hull, that hull, that kind of setup. So they're going to get top dollar. So because they're going to make money doing this. At the same time, you're going to get just as much as you would selling it on your own, but you don't have the hassle. And if you've ever sold a boat or anything like that, you know what I'm talking about. People just wasting your time with that. All right. It's that simple. Give them a call, set up an appointment, get down there with the boat, and they will walk you through this. And then they're going to market the boat for you. They're going to do the heavy lift. They're going to take the calls. They're going to deal with all that. And all you do is get to sell that boat and hopefully get another boat. Hopefully not getting out of the boating game. So do it. Yeah, go to their website, bluewateryachtsales.net, or on the telephone, 251-476-2699. But just Google Blue Water Yacht Sales, and you'll get all the information. But let them sell your boat for you. Then if you're looking for a boat, they got a bunch listed as well. So check them out, bluewateryachtsales.net. Coming right back. Speaking of which, we're going to talk some fishing when we come back, or fish. Now, I think about the fish part. We're talking about the fish when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 135, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Jeff at Stone Arms. And if you've been, like I said, it was 2 years ago, I guess, I got my green light from the feds to get a silencer, a suppressor, a can. In other words, the thing that makes the rifle quiet and fun to shoot. It expedited big time. So I'd been like toying with the idea for quite a while. I had a little folder on my desk and I put a sheet in. I'm like, oh, I got to get this other thing. You got to go over here to get your picture, over here to do the fingerprints. Then you have to have all this together, have to send it to the feds. Well, Jeff, he calls it a kiosk. It's a computer on the wall. It is a system. You go in there and it only lets you put your information in the right place. In other words, it's all like designed. So because, you know, it's a federal form. If you screw something up, then you don't get approved. Well, the computer system there does all that for you. Right. You just put the information in, takes your fingerprints there, does a photo there, puts it all together and sends it off to the feds. And also, you know, back when I did it, it was a $200 fee to do it. Well, after the big, beautiful bill, the fee is gone. You still have to get the green light from the feds, but the fee is gone. And he's getting it done for people. It's about 30 minutes for the process of doing it. But he's getting returns back. It isn't years. It isn't months. 2 weeks average, some people as soon as 2 days later. And the nice thing is, too, when you're there, large selection of silencers, firearms, and accessories, all in stock, new items arriving daily. So check it out online, stonearmsinc.com. You can look a little bit, but the most fun is to go see them in person just west of Snowen Airport, and online, stonearmsinc.com and Stone Arms Inc. on Facebook. All right, good to get, well, at least one of these gentlemen in the studio, Kevin Anson, who is the boss man at MRD. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, Sean.
And, oh, yeah, the other Sean, Dr. Sean Powers, University of South Alabama Marine Sciences, Dolphin Island Sea Lab, and the emperor of judging at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. You've recovered?
I've recovered.
Oh, what happened here? I got to press the button. There you go.
I've recovered. I guess you still hold a grudge about the weight we gave you on your speckle trout.
Well, I told folks, too. So I had taken a picture of it that for about 2-3 hours on Friday, I had a leading fish. By the time Midday Mobile was over, it hadn't gone to double digits yet. But it was at the very end of the single digits. And then I looked later that evening, and there it went on down the list. I think I ended, somebody, one of the listeners said, yeah, you ended up at 68th or something. So
what do you think about that? I noticed that Abe Harper and Harper Technology, mm-hmm. Fish and Chaos, those guys added that part where you could see where you were on the list.
It hurts. It hurts.
You just prefer just see the top three.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't want to know how badly I fell in the thing. You know, these things happen. For a couple hours there, it was a heck of a fish. You know, heck of a slot speckled trout, but that didn't last long.
It was.
Hey, speaking of that, because let's talk about the regulations here for both of you on speckled trout. What had changed and what we're seeing in a response, right? When we went from the 10 fish and 14, we went to the reduced limit 6 with the slot. Kevin, what did we, I mean, that law, 3 years, 4 years, how long has that been in effect?
I think since the fall of 2019. So it's been a while.
So time moves fast.
Time moves fast, yes. From my perspective here, you know, seeing the data that comes in and then talking to folks, I think it's done what we wanted it to do. We have a little bit more of a quality fishery now as far as fish, size mm-hmm. of fish, and they're more easy to catch, much more abundant these days. So I think it's done what it was intended to do.
Now, you get the gig where you have to see, Dr. Powers is just science. You got to manage human beings and the fish. And I think there's something to it that people want to get a limit no matter what the number is. So even though it's not 10, it's 6, people, yeah, not everybody, you're not speaking for everybody, yeah, no, but people are like, yeah, I caught a limit. Now that's 6, not 10, but they have it. I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, you probably see that there's a satisfaction to, I caught a limit.
Certainly, yes, that goes into the fishing experience for a lot of people is, you know, being able to say to their friends and family, hey, I limited out. And, mm-hmm. And you know, but all wildlife resources, you know, there is a limit to what you can harvest. And so we try to set up the regulations so we can provide as much access to folks and to give them as much of a quality fishing experience. And so the size of fish and the limit, you know, certainly goes into that. But I think we've done well to try to please as many people as possible.
Here's kind of a out of left field question, but as you're managing this, and is it number of people? Obviously, going after resource, that's important. I don't know if I've heard this as much on the saltwater side, but people in the freshwater world, there's been this debate about live scope and those things that, hey, here's some lake, you know, wherever they catch walleye, let's say, and the limit was X. But now, because of live scoping, you know, forward-looking sonar, success rates are higher, and they're having to change limits because maybe it's not that, it's the same number of people, but they're all doing a lot better catching fish. Is that ever kind of in the formula for saltwater world?
Not here locally. I'm sure it might be in other places, but you know, the we look at basically what the catch rates are showing, what the data shows us, and those have been fairly consistent, except for those instances like spotted sea trout, the catch rates have gone up a little bit more.
So is it like you're looking at there's X number of people, and they're averaging of whatever fish. This is any fish, right? We're managing X number of people. They used to catch, you know, two. They used to keep two. Now the shows are catching four. There has to be something going on.
There has to be something going on. And Kevin's right. It's in the catch rate. So when they're monitoring the catch rate, you know, the number of fish successfully caught by per angler, it's in there. The problem is then you have to separate out a couple of things. Like we know that the stock overall for spotted sea trout, based on the last assessment we did for MRD, is getting better. So okay, you would expect the catch rate to increase because the population is increasing. But some of that increase might be because of technology. In the stock assessments, we have just one parameter, Q, which takes into account, tries to take into account that fishermen or anglers are getting better at fishing. So you can see it like outboard motors compared mm-hmm. to when you had to paddle a boat compared to right. outboard motors. That was a big jump in Q. And then offshore, you know, the technology and the mapping available for the anglers is so much better. So yeah, so the catch rate, the mystery for us is how we try to judge it based on is the population increasing and decreasing, but then you still have that cue, that technology that, you know, for lack of better words, you have to do a bunch of scenarios because you never know absolutely.
Right, because not everybody's doing the same thing, you know.
Simple things like the GPS lock on trolling motors.
Well, you just stole it from me. You know, you're on the same page as me, as I was thinking. With the mapping chips we have, we're running on our marine units, our you know, on our GPS and our bottom machines, and then tie that with spot lock controller motor, which you don't have to be the best boat pilot to keep the folks on, you know, where the fish are. You can get there. You don't have to say, okay, current's coming this way, wind's coming this way. I got to keep the boat in gear to keep over. You lock it down, and you're there.
Correct. So one of the really big pieces that help us disentangle whether it's the population increase or the fishermen getting better is Marine Resource Division spends a tremendous amount of resources on what we call fisheries independent sampling. And that should be free of Q because okay. they've been using the same techniques over time for a long time. So that should be able to tell us what the population is doing.
So there's a standardized, right?
There's a way to do it, but Kevin can tell you it's an investment on the part of the state to do that, but that's essentially why it's so important to have these fisheries independent.
Yeah, that allows you to monitor those populations with that standardized gear, the standardized methodology, and so you can look at trends over time and kind of take away some of these other factors that might get involved when you're talking about fishery-dependent activities with fishermen going out and collecting, whether it's commercial or recreational fishermen.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I mean, how hardcore the research y'all do with marine scientists is, like, y'all do your trips, you fish them the same way. There are rules to it when y'all go, like we're going to use this on this place and we're doing it this way every time.
Yeah, because we want to, and when we bring people, they're like, well, there's a lot better way to catch a fish. And we're like, we absolutely know that.
Like, but, like, hey, can I drop a big live bait, Sean? No.
No, we've, no. But Kevin, probably what's your biological staff at MRD compared to your enforcement staff? Because you oversee both.
Right, yeah. So we have almost twice as many biological staff, you know, for our biologists and biologist aides to conduct the activities that we do to provide the information that's used for management. And so specific to the fishery independent sampling, we have conducted a long-term monitoring study that incorporates gill nets as well as trawls and seines. And so we go to we have all the Mobile Bay. This is all inshore. Mobile Bay, Mississippi Sound, Perdido Bay, all gridded out. And then each of those are assigned weights for sampling purposes, and then are randomly selected for certain days. And so those folks will then, on those days, and that's a particular location, will go out and take that gear and then deploy it for a certain amount of time, retrieve it, you know, count and weigh and all that stuff, bring it back. And then that's what forms the basis of our inshore fishery independent sampling. And that's funded primarily to support fish restoration. So that's a federal excise tax that fishermen pay. For
rods and reels, rods and reels, lures and everything, and hooks,
right?
Yeah.
And then since 2011, I think you've all talked about this too. Sean has conducted a similar survey, a fishery independent survey offshore for the reef fish species.
Yeah.
And that's been helpful to us as we navigate through federal management, as well as trying to, went to state management for red snapper just to make sure that everything is going well. He provides a number to estimate independent of anything that we do. And then we evaluate that to see if what we're doing on the seasons for red snapper is working or not.
Yeah. And that, I'll tell you what, we'll start it, then we'll go to the break and come back. Because I have taken some of y'all's time talking about inshore, but two species of right now I'm talking about the red snapper. Here we are. I know that, you know, the fish be doing fish stuff all year long, but in angler mind, we're on the back nine of our offshore fishing. It just, after the rodeo, you know, even though there's tons of time, but this is the human side of it, right, Kevin, that we just kind of go, okay, it's the second half. And there's diminished, at least the short side, diminished effort. Right, it leads up to the rodeo, and then it starts going down.
Yeah, so a couple things probably are going on with that. You know, as you get into August, at least locally, the people start thinking about school, and you know, vacations aren't on a lot of people's minds that want to travel here. It's hotter, people may not want to go fishing. The fish bite is off,
right.
So you know, just generally those things. And then as we get into September. There's pigskin that we have to worry about, and then a month or so after that, people start thinking about hunting. So, so it really starts waning the effort and catches right around this time. Yep.
So looking at our red snapper numbers here at this point, what we've caught of of the quota, and then how you go, okay, is there a formula that, all right, from the opening to now we've caught this, but we know the anglers aren't going to go as much in the second half. Is there a way to project that out for how much we'd go through?
Yeah, we would use recent historical data for that same time period that you're trying to evaluate and compare to, and use that. And we've done that on occasion here over the last, since 2018, since we've had state management, and the state has been responsible for managing its allocation for red snapper. Here as of late, we've not really had to monitor or do those calculations as much because we've had enough allocation to take us all the way through the end of the year.
Yeah, so how are we looking right now?
So we've caught about through this Sunday, this past Sunday, we estimated that there were 71% of our allocation has been caught. But if we do have on Outdoor Alabama, if you look up snapper check information on Outdoor Alabama, we post a chart weekly there that shows our progress, if you will, through the season with where we estimate that the harvest is. And right now we are above where we've been for 24 and 25. But we are starting to see that tail. So it's
right.
You can
so
look
don't
at
panic
it
that it's 71%.
That's right.
Thinking the effort's the same as it was May, June, and July, because it's now.
Yep, and you can see that in
30% could last a lot longer than it did in May, June.
Absolutely, okay. And so you can see that if you look at the chart, you see 24 and 25 right around this time of the year. That really starts to wane, and that curve just kind of flattens out.
And we should add that if you're booking with a charter boat. That's a different system,
right?
What you're talking about,
I'm talking
here
about recreational.
Yes. So our allocation is for the private, privately owned vessels as well as state charter boat vessels. It's all lumped as one allocation. But the federally permitted vessels, they are not included in SNAP or CHIC for monitoring, reporting, nor their catches included in that harvest.
They are monitored, just not the same way.
That's right. Yes.
Even heavier. All right. Coming right back. And your questions. I got one that I was going to ask, and Michael's got on the text line. I'll ask when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 153 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Good time to check in with my buddy Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And I don't know if you realized it here, but it's fixing to be August, Blaine. And people are thinking about food plots, thinking about the hunting camp. People need equipment. What you got?
That's right. So right now we've got all of our compact tractors in stock, perfect for the hunt camp, and our mid-sized tractors as well. But we've got plenty of implements to get those food plots ready, you know, whether it be rotary cutters, sprayers, spreaders, discs, tillers, cultipackers, all that you need to get those food plots ready for the fall. We've got them in stock here at Parrish Tractor right now. We can form them into a package deal with the tractor if you're looking to purchase a tractor, or, you know, you can come in and purchase them just standalone implements by themselves.
Okay. So you don't have to get them as a package. You could get, I mean, if I need a tiller, I could just come get the tiller.
Yeah. So you can come in by just that single implement by itself, or we can package it into a tractor package for you. But something else, Sean, if, you know, maybe this is something that you use once a year and you can't really justify purchasing it. We have all these implements, tractors and all in our rental fleet. So, you know, you can come by, rent it for the day, the weekend, a week or a month, you know, but we have all this in our rental fleet as well.
Good stuff. Tell them how to find you.
We're right here at Parrish Tractor on Highway 59 in Robertsdale, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturdays 8 until noon. You can find us online at parrishtractor.com, or you can give us a call at 251-947-4171.
Hey, thanks, Blaine.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine at Parrish Tractor. And a quick question, and by the way, too, can I have y'all come on the outdoor show with me this weekend?
Absolutely.
Yes? Okay, so because I get a lot of text here, and we'll probably hold these over till Saturday. But Michael had asked early, he said, ask if we're finally going to be able to harvest more amberjack, since they've been proven to have a way higher quantity than the feds claim.
So I can tell you that the results are final. We've turned the report over to the Gulf Council, to the states, and there's conversations about how we reconcile and work with the feds to update their assessment using our information. But as far as the policy implications on that's the council, Fisheries Gulf Council. Luckily, we have a member of the Gulf Council right here.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. You know, last year we should have closed the season earlier, or the feds should have closed the season earlier than they did. And so that more than likely led to an overage. You know, fish politics extend beyond the Gulf Council into D.C., and so we have not yet received what the season will be for this year, and I'm sure that's being decided, and some wrangling going on within NOAA Fisheries, NIMS. So we're gonna see. There's the talk of the states developing an exempted fishing permit, which is the vehicle that was used when the states wanted to break away, if you will, and do red snapper management. Mm-hmm. And so it would only apply to the private recreational sector, just like red snapper. But that's under its early discussions right now. We've not started a document introduced any,
but at least you
any
have
application for that.
But if we have an outline, Kevin, from when we did this for snapper, does that make it a little bit easier or not?
So it might. So one of the parallels to this, besides people unhappy with management of the stock, is that we have an independent scientific study that was conducted for Greater Amberjack Lake, we did with Red Snapper, Sean mentioned, and the numbers in both cases were higher than what NOAA had indicated in their mm-hmm. assessment. And so one would argue that there could be some opportunity there, certainly to open up harvest and such. And so one of the things we talked about for the exempted fishing permit is to make sure that there was a season, because if you get a very short season or you have no season, then your data stream for some species, most species, just kind of turns off. And so what you would normally use then to, in the future, to do assessments, if you all of a sudden have holes there, gaps that were created because the season was closed and access was shut off, then you have no opportunity then for the model to work appropriately and to really develop you a reasonable number.
So I volunteer my efforts and a lot of other anglers out there to help you out. We'll go give us a chance. We'll go catch the AJs for you.
Yeah, so we'll be working on that, yeah.
All right, good stuff. Head of MRD, Kevin Hansen, and Dr. Sean Powers, University of South Alabama Marine Sciences, Dolphin Island Sea Lab, and yeah, that boss of the judging at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. They're going to join me on Saturday for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, and we'll do it again. Hey, tomorrow, Dan and Dalton are out. Sean Sullivan doing the morning show. Tomorrow, Leanna's going to help me as well, so I'll see y'all then.